newspress.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Money Talk. I'm Neil Kreisel and Diane Duvernay, your host every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 11 and on Saturdays at 6. We're brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending, whose highly trained and experienced team takes great pride in helping people with home financing, offering competitive rates and a wide array of loan programs. American Riviera Bank, smart banking for smart people in Santa Barbara at Figueroa and Anacapa Streets, and in Montecito's Upper Village. And Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm in Santa Barbara, providing its clients with the personal care and attention of a small independent firm, coupled with the vast resources of a major financial institution.
Happy Monday, Neil. How are you?
I am doing fine.
Did you hear that thunder last night?
I did.
At about 11:20. It was crazy. I guess it hit a palm tree over on Laguna and De La Guerra Streets.
Well, I have a list of things that 21 years ago my broker told me didn't happen in Santa Barbara. There's no
lightning and thunder was one of the
lightning and thunder, rain, earthquakes. They don't have them anymore here. I was told. So apparently that's not totally true.
I see. You didn't conduct this interview under a lie detector test.
No, and so you have to be careful, you know. And I was from New York, so I was pretty naive and easygoing.
And not neurotic at all.
No, but what's really good is Diane and I have lunch before each show, and Diane was 35 minutes late today for lunch, so I've had 4 cups of coffee. So this is going to go very – these articles are
– late has a connotation that I didn't tell you I wasn't getting there.
It doesn't matter. I had nothing else to do. So we're gonna, I brought in – instead of bringing in 3 or 4 articles, I brought 15 in because I think I'm going to speak very fast.
Oh, good. Well, we do have a guest today, so you'll be cut off shortly. We have Kathy Whalen, who is the president of Whalen Bryant, which is a legal search firm.
That's correct, yes.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much for being here, Kathy.
So the first article is entitled, Why Investors Don't Care That Snap and Lyft Are Hemorrhaging Money. And this article is very timely because Lyft just went public. Snap either...
I was like, do you know what Snap is?
I don't know what it is, but I know they're going public and they don't make any money. So the question is, why are investors buying companies that don't make any money? And the article is pretty lengthy, and it goes into what they believe are some of the reasons. And one of the first interesting statements was, despite everything written about short-termism, we are seeing that as long as these companies have a compelling growth stories, investors are actually telling them not to focus on short-term performance. And not all sectors work like this. So, for example, if a restaurant chain had unprofitable restaurants and promised in an IPO that while they have 100 restaurants that don't make money now, they're going to add 150 restaurants with the money they're raising, then it probably wouldn't succeed because there's no reason why they should do better with more restaurants if they can't make money with the 100 that they have. And the common thread of the companies that have gone public with big losses are companies where there is a belief that there's going to be incredible growth in the future. And, you know, the hero of this phenomenon is Amazon. Amazon, up until recently, made no money. And what they did, their business plan was essentially to buy their way into the market, reduce prices, and basically put everybody out of business, which essentially they did. They recreated a marketplace. So the question is, are we being too optimistic when we look at companies like Lyft, like Uber, which is about to go public?
Like WeWork that just filed today. You know, there are a lot of – it's a wave, really, of cash-burning startups that aren't growth. The question that it leaves me thinking is this another dot-com, you know, to early roaring 2000s where it's going to be a hard landing at the end?
So I brought a second article in that is, I think, right to that point. And this was in the Wall Street Journal as well. And it's entitled Startup Spending Shakes Up Industry. And this talks about Compass, which is a real estate brokerage firm that was created a couple of years ago. And it's in Santa Barbara. And I know nothing about Compass and I have nothing critical to say about
Compass. Let me translate. It's Compass.
What did I say?
Compass.
What's the difference?
Just so people listening know what company we're talking about. Compass.
No, first of all, it's headquartered in New York.
Okay.
So I am
so
correct.
The pronunciation is good. Okay,
You have the California pronunciation. This is my native tongue.
It's like coffee.
I have coffee right.
You do.
It took me 20 years to get coffee right. But anyway, so what Compass has done is they got a lot of money. And they got a $450 million infusion of cash from SoftBank. And so they are spending generously. In fact, it's probably the best place to work in Santa Barbara if you believe this story, which is that in some cases they give agents who they sign up the first four sales without any take for the house. Their computer system apparently is not only state-of-the-art but very, very unique. But the reason I brought this article in, and again, this is not critical of Compass, but the end of the article, the reporter was talking to the chief operating officer and he asked about how they're going to monetize this business plan. And he said, he said this to the Wall Street Journal, quote, "We're not yet at a stage where we have a clear monetization strategy because we haven't really talked about it." And I'm saying, so you're asking, well, they're not asking because it's a private company, but they're creating, they're asking investors to invest in a company that
without a clear monetization
without a clear way of making money. And so I think, and again,
I think they can get away with that because if you speak to any of the agents who have gone on their national trips, their CEO and founder, I think it's two gentlemen that founded the company, are completely and totally inspirational.
Right.
And so it's almost when you speak to agents that get back from their national conferences, it's almost like they drank the Kool-Aid. And it seems like a really great place to work. As an investor, it seems a little scary prospect to put your money there when they haven't even discussed a path of monetization.
Right. But they did raise $450 million from SoftBank, and so they obviously have convinced very successful people that it makes sense. And again, from the community standpoint, it certainly makes sense. They're providing our brokers with tools and good compensation packages. The next article, again, is similar in terms of what we're talking about here, and it's entitled Amazon Swaps Profit for Growth. And this was interesting. They came out with their earnings last week, and their revenues grew less than anticipated, but their operating income surged. So their revenue grew 17%, which was about in line with Wall Street's estimate, but it had a 129% increase in net income. And the idea that they're growing slower and earnings are increasing obviously means their profit margins are going up. But from a long-term earnings growth situation, which you have to assume when you're paying 100 times earnings for a company, that their revenues will grow because you can only get so much profit improvement. So it's interesting that after all these years of no profit at all, the stock, and by the way, it went up after this announcement, is not growing as fast as it was before, but they're getting a margin play, which is what they wanted. But the irony of this is it's conceivable that with this profit growth, it may be signaling the end of the kind of incredible growth that they've had in revenues.
Very well could be. Although it is still amazing. I ordered something on Saturday from Amazon. It got there Sunday morning.
I ordered something on Saturday, got Friday, got the day before. They anticipate now. They anticipate.
That might be a subscription service you're speaking
no,
of.
No, this was really good. Well, they announced, by the way, that their next goal, they announced last week, seriously, that they're going to
start reading your mind.
I have nothing to. I'm not thinking about anything. They're reading my mind. No, but they said that they're going to change their Prime delivery to one day rather than 2 days. So
wow.
There's no reason to go shopping. Of course, then I can never leave my house other than to walk my dogs.
I think Alexa is listening, and that's how you got it on Friday instead of Saturday. You must have said to your wife, "Hey, I need X on a."
Alexa,
I need to order it.
Alexa is the only one in the house that listens to me.
I think we need to take a break.
That's an excellent idea. You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California, of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit thekellymarshteam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
It's a fact. Successful wealth management is built on strategies that focus on the big picture, take a long-term view, and establish deep and valued relationships. Hello, I'm Diane Duva, founding partner at Arlington Financial Advisors, Santa Barbara's trusted family guide, empowering you to make more informed and confident decisions. At Arlington Financial Advisors, we bring order and balance to your financial life by monitoring and managing risk so you can focus on your work, family, and enjoying the moment. We are a fully independent firm offering strategic financial planning, estate and tax planning, and private money management. Our plans and portfolios are handcrafted using a rigorous and disciplined approach, supported by a consistent yet highly personalized client experience. Our clients look to Arlington Financial Advisors as a home away from home, a comfortable place to protect what they've accomplished while they prepare for what comes next. Please visit arlingtonfinancialadvisors.com or call me, Diane Duva, at 805-699-7300.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending. Since 1988, a mortgage banker and direct lender that believes in providing in-depth loan consulting to its customers in a personalized and honest manner. And we can be reached at 805-564-1290.
Or you could email us at moneytalk1290@gmail.com. If you're just joining us, we have Kathy Whalen, who's the president of Whalen Bryant. And Kathy is the go-to source for all legal placement in the 805 community. And she's the expert regarding the regional climate for jobs in our legal community. So thanks so much for being here, Kathy.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
So tell us, how did you get involved in placement?
Oh, great story. Well, first off, my grandmother's name was Pearl. I never met her.
Oh, what a cool name.
I know. I love it. I wish I would have met her. I feel like I know her, but she was the neighborhood matchmaker back in Chicago where people would come to her for advice and matchmaking, kind of a Yenta, if you will, and knew everybody's business.
It makes me want to break out into song, but I'll spare us all from the fiddler on the roof.
So, wait, what does the word Yenta mean? I don't know.
Well,
I'm joking.
Oh, okay. It could mean gossip or matchmaker.
I know.
Okay. So my mother was in the employment agency business and did placement. And so it's kind of like third generation. And now my son, Brian, who is 34 years old, is also working with us doing placement.
Oh, so it's a multi-generational business.
It is, yes.
Your mom started it?
My mom went to work for an employment agency many years ago, and then she ended up buying into the business. And then I was hired on when I was in high school to be the receptionist, and I eventually trained to be a counselor, is what we called them. And things have changed so much since then. It was a really slow process where you would sit and interview people at your desk and ask them a million questions and get their resume, and then you would mail it to the company, and they would get back to you. And back then, people paid their own agency fees, so everything's changed over the years, but it's so much fun. And I like to think of what we do as Whalen Bryant is more of matchmaking rather than headhunting with the spear capturing people. We don't do that. Yeah.
Well, when we were talking about having you on, Neil was like, so is she going to bring in some guns?
Far from it. No.
So through your time, it seems like, has this always been your calling? This is what you knew you were going to do as you were the receptionist in high school? Or did you think about a different career path and then find your way back?
That's a funny story. I had many career paths along the way. One job I got fired from it was a bookkeeping job, which I could never do financial advising that you do. I'm so grateful different people have different gifts. But no, I think we learned from our mistakes also, and that was not the path for me, but it actually led me to this path. And I got to work in this business and found that I really like it because it's never boring. Every candidate's different, every job's different, every firm, every corporation, everybody's different and looking for different things. So it's not just cookie cutter for me.
In New York, one of the roles that law firms look to placement firms today is not just lawyers, but merger potentials.
Yes.
Your profession has become almost like an investment banker because you know who is unhappy, you know who is looking to maybe make a change, and it could be just a group from a particular law firm or it could be the whole law firm. So is that part of your business as well?
Absolutely, yeah. And it's more just, to me, it's more like a larger placement of a few people at one time. But there's a lot of firms where the senior partners are retiring and the younger partners want to merge with another firm or perhaps a solo firm. There's so much involved financially and time-wise with running your own firm that it's just nice to merge with somebody else who has an accountant and a bookkeeper and a receptionist and an office administrator so you can, that attorney can actually focus on billing and helping people. They don't have to do all the admin.
How many times do you get lawyers coming in, whether they're old or young, saying they just don't like having to worry about every 5 minutes that they're speaking to a client and they're looking for a change just to be able to do law rather than to be in the billing business?
Yeah, no, I hear that often, especially litigators. They want to make a change. A lot of people want to go in-house. They want to work for the Yardies or the Procores, the big corporations around here. And that can happen, but generally there's a segue into that path. You don't just start there. Well, some people start there maybe right out of law school, but if you're going from a law firm environment to a corporate environment, there's kind of a pathway.
Now, do you feel like with the changes in your industry that, you've seen over the last 30 years that you've been in business, do you think it's better now, or did you feel like you knew your candidates better when they sat at your desk and you interviewed them as opposed to now it's much more virtual? What would you say to that point?
Well, that's one of the reasons that my agency, we like to focus on the 805 and 818 area codes so we can meet with most of our candidates. There's nothing like sitting across the desk from somebody, seeing their eyes, watching their facial expressions and how their body reacts. You can learn so much more about them. And they're much more likely to tell you more information that's personal, which to me is the most important part of a job match, is to match the personality. So with a firm and an attorney that they match, so for the long haul.
So that cultural match is
what
you're looking for.
And it has changed. I mean, of course it's changed. There's a lot of just quick interview, reading a resume. But I really like the old-fashioned way where you sit across from somebody. And same thing with clients, going to their firms, talking to them, and getting to know their culture.
This is a small community, and I wonder how many, if someone's looking for a lawyer, other than they've gone through the entire group of possible candidates here, but how much do they really need, or they think they don't need a placement firm because they know everybody? They could say, well, what about this person? Or do they want to have that someone cut between them and asking because it's less interruptive of the other company? I mean, how does that play out?
That's a really great question. A lot of our firms will call us because they do interact with the other attorneys in the community. Perhaps they're on the same board of directors, or they go to the same church or synagogue, or their kids play soccer together, and it wouldn't be right for them to talk to their candidates. But if they come to me, if an attorney comes to me and is looking, I am kind of the middleman there, and it's I don't know if it's fine. It doesn't hurt as much, I guess.
Yeah, they could say they came to me as opposed to I went and interfered.
Now, do you find that there's a, now that the landscape has shifted from the employees or the person searching for a job paying your fees, do you see that employers are sometimes wanting to circumvent you just because they don't want to pay your fees?
And
how do you deal with that?
Well, they, of course, would want to do that, as I would want to do that, too. If I wanted to purchase a house, wouldn't want to pay a realtor, but boy, would I pay a realtor to find me a house, just because there's so much information that the realtor will have to make the transition smooth. But, oh, yeah, no, there's some companies, they don't want it. Well, I don't think anybody wants to pay me, honestly. They don't. But they don't complain about it once it's done. Yeah.
What the laws about disclosure, I know when I was in business, it was frustrating because I was always concerned about giving an honest review with a former employee, and you as a prospective employee may not be getting from somebody else the fact that this person's awful because you don't want to get sued. So how do you get around the sort of risk aversion of people actually saying bad things about somebody?
I think to answer your question, there's another layer there that's this long-term relationships with these firms and these clients. I'll call them and they'll say, off the record, don't represent them to another firm. Then that's all they'll say. Or they say, we won't consider them for rehire. Very short. I don't know if they're supposed to do that, but I know them. I've known them for 25, 30 years, so... Yeah.
That's very valuable, and I don't think it's legal.
Actually, I think what's legal is that you can say they are eligible for rehire or not eligible for rehire.
That's about that all right? you can
That's
say.
That's about all you can say, yeah.
Which is really too bad because, you know, there's – it's I could see both sides of the story, but there's no way to know for sure about a person's performance if you can't get an honest reading.
Yeah.
Well, and I've got to imagine that that's where you really come in and help these firms to not take that risk of hiring an employee for the 90-day probation period and then realizing it's not a great fit. You do that research and background check, if you will, kind of get the sense of the person before you refer them into a firm, right?
We do. Yeah, we check their backgrounds and check references. A lot of times if somebody's moving in from out of town, we can't get that deep reference that we can from local people that we have these long-term relationships with. But yeah, we do our very best. And once in a great while, somebody doesn't work out. And then we always find a free replacement for that person if it doesn't work out for whatever reason.
Do people move to this community who are lawyers without a job first? Do you ever get people coming in saying, can you help me? I just moved here. Or do they always have a place?
Sometimes if their spouse is here with another job or their significant other, they will come here without a job. But typically speaking, they want a job first before they move here.
Oh, so how much of your business is out of town? Are people looking to relocate here? And
I don't typically work with people who want to move here unless they have some very solid reason. For instance, we're representing a paralegal now who's fiance has a job here in Santa Barbara. He's got a house here, and she wants to move from the Bay Area. And so there's solid reasons to be here. That's one reason. But typically, if somebody's been here on vacation and they call me to find them a job, no. That happens a lot. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's how this community got Neil.
Yes. I was here on vacation 21 years ago, and I never left.
Yeah.
But I didn't have a job then or now.
And most people can't afford to live here. They're coming from Texas, and they had a great vacation, and they want to live here, and then they figure out the cost of housing and they can't stay. So they might start a job and then leave soon after. That's not what we're known for.
You're listening to Money Talk on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Jeff Devine from American Riviera Bank. All of our customers were once just like you, stuck with a bank that kept charging more for less. But when they finally made the decision to change banks, American Riviera Bank made the move easy with mobile deposit, online banking, free use of every ATM in the country, and a level of customer service that other banks dream of. Come in and make the move today in our downtown Santa Barbara or Montecito Upper Village branches. American Riviera Bank, smart banking for smart people.
Coming up Sunday, May 5th, you're invited to the Care for Paws 10th Anniversary Fundraiser. They're celebrating 10 years of helping animals and pet owners in our community. Here's Care for Paws co-founder, Isabel Gulo.
On May 5th, we have a big event at Ealing's Park. So we'll be hosting our 10-year anniversary fundraiser there from 3 to 7. Myself and the staff will share stories, but we also have some pet owners there we've helped over the years, and they'll be sharing their stories. It will hopefully be very powerful, but also a very fun event with great local wine and good food from New West Catering and music. So yeah, it will be a fun day. Tickets are $100. People can get tickets from on our website, careforpaws.org. You can also call us at 568-2273.
To get your tickets for the Care for Paws 10th Anniversary Fundraiser, go to careforpaws.org. That's careforpaws.org. Or call 805-968-2273.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
So, Kathy, what made you really decide to target the legal profession instead of all professions? Because in Santa Barbara, especially, it's so difficult to find good people that I've got to imagine your skills would be translatable in all different fields, but you chose to have a niche market in the legal profession.
I did. My mom and I, when we worked at the agency that we had in Oxnard, we worked with everybody, and there was a lot of competition. And I reluctantly, I don't know, I was trained to be in the temporary business, which I knew nothing about. So I went to 2 weeks of training to learn the temporary business, and they had different associations to belong to in California. And I said, why don't you have one in Ventura County? And they said, why don't you start one? And I said, I don't know anything. I'm the new kid on the block. So somehow I started this Gold Coast chapter of temporary services, and there was another member in our group who used to do legal placement. And I started this group and got to know all the other owners, and then he called me up one day. He said, I'm going back into civil service. I'm sick of this business. I said, so you're no longer going to be doing legal placement? He said, that's right. And I said, thank you. So I knew nothing about legal, so I called an attorney. I called an office administrator, called a legal secretary and a paralegal, took each one to lunch, picked their brain, and said, what do I need to know? And they were very, very helpful. And so I just decided to specialize. And that's almost the first question everybody asks. What do you do? I'm an executive recruiter. What do you specialize in? So that's kind of the way things are, where you specialize in one area. But so many of our jobs spin off into other areas. We're doing a search now for a regulatory compliance person in a corporation, and that is legal, but then they also need to hire another accounting department and all other departments. So once they get to know us, they continue to work with us in other areas.
Now, given that the market has a lot of placement firms like yourself, how do you differentiate yourself? Why should we choose you over another placement firm?
That's another good question. We're local, and so we get to know people. I can't really speak for the other agencies that do legal placement, but I interact with the people that I place on a regular basis. I see people all over town. Integrity, our reputation's extremely important. Just these longstanding relationships with people, we just get to know them, and I don't know that the other agencies, at least the legal placement, are based in San Francisco or L.A., and I just don't think it's quite as warm of a relationship.
And they don't really know our specifics around the legal community here in Santa Barbara and Ventura counties.
That's correct.
So you said, you said the 805 and 818 area code. So 818 is not here. So you work in the south as well.
Well, that would be Westlake Village. So it's still Thousand Oaks, Westlake Village. It's still part of Ventura County.
So that's not an overnight trip then.
No, you can get there in a day. Okay. Actually, in about
50 minutes.
That's not that far.
Okay, so just so you know, he thinks it's a field trip to go to Goleta.
Okay, understood. Yes, I do understand that. Yes.
So you're like, the 818 is not here.
Well, no, she said she specializes in Santa Barbara. I know, I have a note here that 818 is not in Santa Barbara.
It's still Ventura County, though.
Okay.
Yes.
So now, with the law firms that you have cultivated these relationships with, what happens when you have people moving from one of your clients' firms to another of your clients' firms, and how do you handle that? Because when people make changes, feelings often get hurt, and how do you handle that conflict, I guess, or awkwardness, I guess, is a better word for you.
Yeah. I had lunch last week with the general counsel of one of Santa Barbara's largest corporations, and he says, thank you for sending me
so-and-so,
this candidate. And every time I see so-and-so from that other firm, we kind of rib each other because I got her first. And so it's just how it is in this community. It's not personal. It's people are looking to make the best career choice for them, and firms have different personalities as well. And sometimes somebody will outgrow a firm, or they'll go in-house with the general counsel. Things just change. And
now, with such a tight labor market that we have right now, not only locally but nationally, how does that affect your business?
Yeah, it's really challenging. It's not easy to find good people, and that is what we do. That's all we do all day, is recruit and find people, interview people. So we may have, like right this morning, I interviewed an excellent executive estate planning paralegal who's awesome. So I just market her out in the community, because somebody like her is gold to find in this town, because there's so many estate planning places. So she's already got two interviews, but she wouldn't have marketed herself. She could work for wealth management also.
Right.
Yeah.
And so what usually is the determining factor for the candidate? Is it culture and compensation? And are you seeing that your clients are having to pay more for their placement people to attract them away from wherever they are? How is this translating?
Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of the, say, younger attorneys, maybe with 5 to 10 years experience working in a law firm, are kind of very few and far between. And those are the next generation. The more senior partners are starting to retire, so there's a gap. And they are having to attract people from out of town, and they have to pay higher compensations than what they're used to paying. My fees have stayed the same, but incrementally they go up based on the person's annual salary. But yeah, it's so hard to find people. They're having to think outside the box. One thing that I'm finding, the millennials who are getting out of law school, almost the first thing each one of them say that they're looking for is flexibility in their schedule. They just don't want to be tied down to, you know, a 7 to 6 or 7 to 7 schedule where they're billable hours and working for the bucks. You know, they want to see their family.
Isn't that like a disconnect between what the traditional law firm situation really is?
You would think so. You would hope
you know
so,
what you
but
hear
not
about.
Really. No, at the end of the day, it's some of the firms really are all about making big bucks and billable hours, and the other firms are more flexible. So a lot of people will make a move for that very reason, that they feel more comfortable working at a firm that might say, hey, your daughter has a soccer game, go ahead and leave and just make up your hours when you have time.
The way it works, at least used to work in New York, is that you were hired out of school, and then you had 6 years to make partner. And then either you were told that you weren't going to make partner and you could leave, or if they liked you, they would make you a senior associate, and that would be the rest of your life. Is there in Santa Barbara that sort of moment of truth where, whether it's 6 years, 7 years, there is a conversation that says you're really not going to be ever a partner here, and that is a place that you can then focus on because they're going to move, or is it different here?
It's each firm is different. A lot of their firms here in Santa Barbara are so small that the attorneys are wearing many hats, and so I'm representing an attorney now who's at a firm that, just because she came from a paralegal background, when they're short on paralegals, they ask her to do paralegal work, and she's not billing for her attorney work, so it makes it hard for her to become partner if she's not meeting those billable hour requirements. So it depends on the firm. It depends on the situation. Everything's different, but generally speaking, if you haven't made partner level after X amount of time, it's time to start looking elsewhere, but it could be the firm. It could very well
and,
be the firm.
And it's not so clear being a partner of a law firm is a great idea anyway. There's
true.
A whole – things have changed tax-wise, liability-wise. There are people that want to be senior associates and, you know, less responsibility. I have a friend whose kid worked for one of the biggest law firms in the country in New York, and one of the precipitating factors why she quit you know, went to a great law school, great job. She was working on a merger and acquisition, and it was the 36th hour of a closing. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, the senior person came over to her and said, you know what, you should really go home, relax, take a shower, just be back here by 7 a.m. Crazy. And that was it. You know,
yeah.
Life's too short.
Yeah. Life is too short, and people make that decision.
Yeah. That's why I like radio. Because, right, it's not as good as living as when I was in Wall Street, but it's much more rewarding.
I imagine it is.
Neil.
I digress.
Yeah, I'm like speechless after that one.
Okay, well, let's take a break then if you're speechless. We don't want to have any silence here. You're listening to my therapy. Session. I'm sorry. We're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Where do you want to go to lunch?
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering me?
I'm having a stroke.
What's up with your face?
I'm having a stroke.
That's not normal. Is something wrong?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having an allergic reaction?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Are you ready to start and run your own successful business? Ready to grow your small business or home business? Women's Economic Ventures is a local nonprofit helping women start and build successful businesses. In addition to their highly successful self-employment training program, Weave offers services to help women succeed at every stage of their business, from startup and launch to building and sustaining a business, including individual business counseling, professional networking events, advanced business training, and small business loans to start or expand a business. Over 1,000 local businesses are now owned and operated by women who have taken part in programs and services. Whether you're ready to start up, launch, build, or sustain your business, Women's Economic Ventures is right here to help you make it happen. Call 965-6073 or visit weaveonline.org.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by American Riviera Bank, making your life easier with cutting-edge technology, mobile deposits, free use of every ATM machine in the country, and a level of service other banks can only dream about.
And if you're just joining us, we have in studio with us Kathy Whalen, the president of Whalen Bryant Placement Agency. And so, Kathy, as a small business owner, how big is your agency? How many people do you employ?
Well, I have outside people, but just two of us, myself and my son, Brian.
And so with that, and then you have outside consultants,
yes,
that help with various items of the business.
Yes.
What would you say is the biggest challenge that as a small business owner that you face?
Well, currently is the amount of job openings that we have and not enough people. So it's, I think, the same problem everywhere. Every time I go to an economic consulting class or seminar, they talk about the shortage of people, qualified people. And that's our same problem, too, is finding those quality people.
And that must hit you on both sides, you know,
yeah,
because that's what people hire you to do. Now, yeah, how often is it that you have a client who is looking for somebody and you just can't fill the position? What happens at that point?
Generally, we talk to the client, ask them to open the parameters a little bit. There's sometimes clients are so, so particular. I think even more particular when they hire through an executive recruiter, that they think that we have some magic wand that we can just find that one person. But if it's been some period of time and they're starting to feel the pain of not having that role filled, we'll talk to them about expanding the parameters.
What do you do about gossip you can't share. So let's assume you place somebody from firm A, and they say the reason they're leaving, it's awful here. Mm-hmm. 6 months later, firm A asks you to find somebody. Mm-hmm. Can you do that? I mean, ethically find somebody and say, this is a great place to work?
It depends. I mean, that one person might have had a bad experience for a very good reason. Perhaps they didn't show up for work on time on a regular basis and somebody fired them. That could happen and they would have a bad experience. But if it's reoccurring and there's reputations, there's a few firms I don't work with in this town. Absolutely.
And so if they reach out to you, that must be a delicate conversation then, if they need some placement help.
It is. I've actually had conversations with senior partners and had to ask them, this is your reputation. You have a reputation for being angry and you can't throw things and you can't yell because I can't find people for you when you treat people this way. Then they get mad at me, but it's okay.
And so in your job, in your role as placement, you know, does the political landscape play into it at all? Does it matter actually what's happening on a local or national level in terms of politics, or does it not matter?
It doesn't really affect my business, I don't think. I don't think so. Traffic affects my business more than anything. People don't want to spend much time on the road, and since the fires and mudslides, people want to be closer to their children. They're less likely to drive to all the way to Ventura from Santa Barbara. They want to stay close to their families, and that really changed things for us.
Oh, I can see that, because if you worked in Santa Barbara and your family was down in Ventura, it made it, you know, it was a long drive home in order to get there.
Yeah.
And it was hard to get back.
See, and you were making fun of me for never leaving my house. It's an excellent plan. You don't have to worry about it.
Unfortunately, though, you were right in the epicenter of it all. So perhaps. So now, do you often get asked by potential clients, you know, why they should use you instead of an online resource as the, you know, the Indeed.com or the Monster, you know, whatever the online placement tool that exists?
Most of our clients use every source they possibly can to find good people. So they could be doing an Indeed search themselves. And it's very much like online dating. You just get a number of people and you switch, just go to the next. But I feel like we're more like a setup. We've interviewed somebody, we know them. It's like a blind date instead. So we're bringing more to the table than online. But there's a lot of people who do get hired from an Indeed or online, and that works for some. And then for other ones, it doesn't. And generally, people don't have that much time, and this is a crucial role. So they'll call us because they know that that's what we do, is find good people.
Right. I know for my firm in particular, when we're looking, you know, we post an Indeed search, and for a period of time, it's so time consuming because you get so many resumes that you then have to weed through.
Yep.
And the interesting part is, of all the hires that we've done, the ones that have worked out have been through referrals or word of mouth, or we haven't used a placement agency, but it's same type of thing of somebody knowing us and knowing the person and thinking that they would be a good match.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the other thing about it, I would imagine, is that people who are really good at a law firm aren't going to want to be on a website, because somebody who's really top-notch is probably someone that would only go through a firm like yours to protect their identity.
That's correct. A lot of confidential searches both ways. A lot of times a firm will have to be replacing somebody and they can't advertise. They don't want the word out on the street. And same thing, like you said, with attorneys. I get calls often from attorneys saying, hey, what's the going rate for somebody with my years? And when they find out how underpaid they are, then they're interested in looking elsewhere. I always encourage them to have the conversation with their managing partner or whomever they speak with at their firm and say, I'm underpaid. And that happens a lot when people have been at one firm for a really long period of time. They don't know what the going rate is.
Well, and it's so much less expensive for the company if they actually just increase that attorney's pay as opposed to going through the search and finding somebody new and the acclimation of that person into the firm culture and getting them up to speed on the casework. And
yeah, it's huge. Huge.
So I assume there are plaintiff's lawyers in this community.
Yes.
that's a different business, isn't it, to hire someone to be a plaintiff's lawyer? Isn't it? Is it more you eat what you kill as opposed to doing contracts and doing deals? Is that a different animal?
There are several different types of attorneys, and some are plaintiff's attorneys, and eat what you kill, if you will, say that. A lot of that's very different than the just base salary doing contracts. It's a different breed. And some people love it, and other people don't love it. And we work really closely with a real high-end family law firm, and same thing, people either love working in family law or they don't. So it just depends on the person and their background and what they want to do.
Yeah, I find here versus New York, the lawyers are, in general, much nicer. You know, well, which is true about everybody who lives here. But there's less aggressiveness, at least from a social standpoint. Whereas in New York, you know, it's everyone's out there, with their bazooka looking for something.
Yeah.
And here it's a little bit less intense.
I
don't know if that's true to be working under these firms, but certainly from a social standpoint, I found it to be a little more pleasant, like everything else here.
And that's why you live here.
That's why I live here.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
So now, is there some, what would you say is the major reason why these law firms use you as opposed to just the word of mouth or referral? Because they want to have the candidate pre-screened and ready to go, and they don't want to take that time? Is that, that would...
Either that or, they're in a hurry. Their time is so valuable. They bill out per hour. So if they're taking that time away from their jobs to find somebody when they know they can just pick up the phone and call me. And I know who's looking because they call me and say, I'm looking, and it's confidential. So things happen real fast, kind of behind the scenes, where your competitors don't know that you're hiring. It's not placed in all the ads. It's just a very quick kind of placement. Did that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back with our final segment.
Hi, I'm Jeff Devine from American Riviera Bank. All of our customers were once just like you, stuck with a bank that kept charging more for less. But when they finally made the decision to change banks, American Riviera Bank made the move easy with mobile deposit, online banking, free use of every ATM in the country, and a level of customer service that other banks dream of. Come in and make the move today in our downtown Santa Barbara or Montecito Upper Village branches. American Riviera Bank, smart banking for smart people.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California, of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit thekellymarshteam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
During these tough financial times, the call for assistance from the Food Bank of Santa Barbara County has never been greater. Currently serving one in every four residents, the Food Bank must now turn to the community to ask for help. Thanks to bulk buying and a newly coordinated regional effort, the Food Bank can turn each dollar donated into $17 worth of healthy food to give to those in need. To donate or more information on Food Bank programs and services, go to foodbanksbc.org or call 967-5741.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence. And we can be reached at 805-564-1290.
So, Kathy, as the technology sector continues to flourish and we start to really, our community starts to be really tech startup heavy, how do law firms compete with these company, these technology companies who provide stock options as part of the in-house counsel's compensation plan?
They lose their people. That's what's happening. And it's sad, but it's what's happening. People start off in firms and they get primed and they're at that certain place in their career path and they get hired by the corporations. It's just how that goes.
So it's now you work for corporations as well as law firms.
We do.
And so do you find that the trend is that the firms are having to compensate in other ways by either higher salaries or, you know, perks somewhat like the technology sector has, whether it be lunches, dinners, whatever it may be? Or are law firms still continuing to be in their tradition of what a law firm is?
Some of the law firms will do very generous bonuses at year end, but I don't know that they actually can compete with stock options because you don't really have any idea how high the stock options are going to go. And I don't think...
Or are they going to end up worthless? You know, there are two sides of the stock option coin.
Yeah, it's true. But generally the...
Generally the law firms lose out.
Yes.
On the talent.
Yeah.
And then I guess my next question would be about the Me Too movement and how, you know, gender inequality has come so far with all that's happened over the last few years. How are you seeing that play out in law firms?
Well, coming from a woman entrepreneur, I have so many opinions about this, but I have seen some blatant mishiring against women because of reproducing and having children, carrying on the human race, that they will flat out say, we want to hire a male, this many years experience, I can't work with those people. So, but it is beginning to change. I think a lot of the firms want to hire females. They want to have that balance in their firm, but it's still pretty new. It's just starting to change.
And they're not going to have much of a choice because there are more women graduating from law school than men. So if they take an old misogynist view, they're going to end up with no lawyers.
Yes. Yes, and a thing that I don't know that everybody knows, it's a law that was passed about a year and a half ago, is that you can't ask a person what their annual salary is any longer. That person can volunteer that information, or they could say what they would like to learn, but you're not allowed to ask that on an interview, and that goes right along with the Me Too movement because of the discrepancy in pay to males versus females for the exact same job.
Can they ask what gender you are? Because that way you could...
Probably not. And yeah, I don't think so.
That's a whole nother issue that you're talking about. So I think as the millennials really start to come into the working years, I think law firms in general are going to have to change in order to attract that talent of new attorneys that can carry on the traditions of the firm. And those traditions might have to be slightly altered and to have more flexibility and more balance.
Yes. And the more progressive firms are doing that exact thing. They're allowing people to work from home as needed, come in the office when you can, get your work done, do your billable hours. We're happy with you. Do networking, which is big now because many years ago, attorneys didn't do a lot of networking unless it was, you know, at the golf course. But now there's a lot of networking groups and there's a lot of different ways to promote business. And yeah, they are having to change or they're not attracting the top talent.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you so much. Sorry, Diane, but we'll continue this after we go up the air. I know this has been an exciting show, but we have to give up now.
Kathy, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
You're listening to Money Talk. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
It's